Hello and welcome back to the Essential Mooching Guide, the podcast, as brought to you by the Moot Court Society of Universitas Pajajaran's Faculty of Law. This week is a special week for us, as we are not only bringing you a mini-episode about a new legal concept for you to learn about, this is also actually the last mini-episode we will be publishing this season. Don't worry too much though, because we will be back for more as soon as we're ready, and we have a fantastic lesson lined up for you today. Right now, we'll be learning about investment law, international investment law specifically, from Clara Jelita. She is not only my former teammate from IMLAM, but she is also the newly elected Secretary General at the Association of Transnational Business Law Students at our university. So without further ado, let's hear it from the highly qualified Clara Jelita all about international investment law.
Hi everyone, and welcome to today's episode. My name is Clara Puspa Jelita, and I'm in my third year of law school in Universitas Pajajaran. In 2019, I participated in International Maritime Law Arbitration MOOT. I served as a double agent along with my co-counsel, the one and only Travis Waluyo. Currently, I am the Secretary General in Association of Transnational Business Law Students in FH Unpad. This week, we'll be talking about foreign investments and investment law. Now, before we get into the details of investment law, we need to first understand what an investment is. Have you ever heard of the saying, you have to spend money to make money? Well, that is what an investment is. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines investment as the outlay of money usually for income or profit. Another more practical definition of investment would be an asset or item acquired with the goal of generating income in the future. To put it simply, a foreign investment is an investment that is made in another country. Investment law, on the other hand, is primarily concerned with two types of investments. The first one being direct investment, and the second one being indirect investment. A foreign direct investment is when there is an actual physical aspect of the investment, such as where an investor owns a factory or production plant in another country. This makes direct investments long-term in scope. In a direct investment, the investor will own both financial and non-financial assets of the investment itself. It entails both ownership and control over the investment. For example, let's say when a businessman from Malaysia wants to open a factory in Indonesia selling a certain type of goods. In this example, the business is first clearly long-term because it is a factory, second, have both financial assets such as the company's money and non-financial assets such as the factory itself, the goods, and etc. Third, the businessman will own and control the investment. And finally, the Malaysian businessman would have to adhere to Indonesian laws regarding production and sale of goods, permits, and etc. A foreign indirect investment, also known as foreign portfolio investment, is quite different. It is when a private entity, which could be a company or individual person, purchases stakes on a foreign stock exchange. What this means is that a foreign indirect investment is a type of investment that only includes financial assets, such as stocks and bonds. Contrary to the direct investment, the owners of these financial assets will not have control over any type of an investment. They only have ownership of the respective financial assets that they buy. The way that these types of investments make money is simply by buying at a low price and selling at a high one. From this, you can also probably tell that these types of investments are short-term compared to direct investments. Investment treaties are agreements between countries to promote investment and economic growth in each other's territory. There are two types of investment treaties, bilateral and multilateral. The only difference between them is that bilateral treaties are between two countries and multilateral treaties are between more than two countries. These treaties are meant to protect the right of foreign investors in the country they wish to invest. Each of these treaties contain a few common clauses, such as the definition of investment clause, where the treaty defines what can be considered an investment, the fair and equitable treatment clause, the national treatment clause, and also the prohibition on expropriation clause, which we'll learn more about each of these clauses in just a bit. The important thing to understand is that these clauses all serve to protect foreign investors from unfair treatment by the state. Now, let's talk more about each of these clauses in detail. The first one is the FET clause, or the Fair and Equitable Treatment Clause, which usually states each party shall accord fair and equitable treatment to investments. This clause exists to ensure protection for foreign investors under something called the FET standard. This standard protects investors from a few types of unfair treatment, which is acknowledged to be within that standard under jurisprudence of international investment law, like denial of justice, violation of legitimate expectations, and etc. However, if we were to discuss these, we would be here all day, so feel free to read up on those on your own, though I recommend the UN Conference on Trade and Development series on issues in international investment agreements about FET. The next one is National Treatment Clause, which usually states neither contracting party shall subject investments and its territory by or with the participation of nationals or companies of the other contracting party to treatment less favorable than it accords to investments of its own nationals or companies or to investments of nationals or companies of any third state. Similar to the national treatment principle known in international trade, this clause simply means that foreign investors have to be treated equally to local investors. This concerns market entry requirements, process to get permits, and etc. The next one is the expropriation clause. This clause usually states investments by investors of one of the contracting parties shall not be nationalized, expropriated, seized, or otherwise appropriated, either directly or indirectly through measures having an equivalent effect in the territory of the other party, unless the following conditions are complied with. The measures are for a public purpose of national interest or security, they are taken in accordance with due process of law, they are non-discriminatory or contrary to the commitments undertaken, they are accompanied by provisions for the payment of prompt, adequate, and effective compensation. This clause protects foreign investors from something called expropriation, which basically means forced taking by the state. However, such taking is only allowed if the state fulfills four conditions, which are first, the expropriation is for a public purpose, second, due process is followed in the expropriation, third, the expropriation is non-discriminatory, and fourth, the expropriation is followed by prompt, adequate, and effective compensation. Basically, taken as a whole, this clause prevents unfair taking of assets, but allows takings by the state if it follows certain strict criteria. So that's all we have for today. I really hope that this episode will be useful to you. Thank you so much for having me, and all the good luck to the Moot Court Society. Goodbye.
And there you have it, the very last mini episode of the season. A very big thank you to Clara for taking the time to teach us the basics about international investment law, about the differences between direct and indirect investment, as well as a couple things about bilateral investment treaties, as well as common articles within them. Do stick around for next week's season finale episode, where we will be interviewing a special guest from the ICRC, to talk with us about international humanitarian law, as well as the IHL Moot that will be hosted in Bali later this year. Are you interested in learning more about that? Or perhaps you're looking for an opportunity to become a Mootie representing UNPAD? Make sure you follow the podcast on Spotify or wherever you're listening so you know when that episode is coming out. Until then, see you guys later, and may it please the court.